This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County. Beautiful day out there today. Come on, get out of bed and enjoy life. It's such a, you know, Rutherford County is just like living in heaven. When you get up, you know everything is going to be right. And it's going to be super today because I have Judge Mark Rogers on today. And one of my favorite people, I run into him all the time at the Y when he's able to break loose from the court and kind of get rid of some of the kinks out. But Mark, you're one of those people that everything just rides smooth. No matter what, you don't get ruffled or anything else. I don't know how you do it. It must have been your upbringing when you're growing up over in Cannon County.
Well, Truman, you're so kind to say that, and I would have to agree with you. I think being the 13th child and having the mother that I did and my dad, it gave me a wonderful attitude toward life. My mother always had that sunny disposition. And everyone was always welcome, and there were no problems that you couldn't take care of, especially if God was in your corner. So I tried to live the life that she gave me.
Being a 13th child, though, it's kind of scary, it sounds like, a little bit. But how many sisters did you have?
8 sisters and
so
4 brothers.
So you had to have been spoiled a little bit.
My wife says that for sure. Uh-huh. Jean Ann really thinks that my sisters probably ruined me in a lot of ways.
She has to take some of the blame also.
Now she does, most of it, but I'm very fortunate with her as my wife, I'll tell you. I have 8 wonderful sisters, and it was, I guess, the good thing about growing up in a big family, it was actually like 3 different families. My older siblings, then the middle section, and then the end. And, of course, they all think that the ones at the end, my sister Kathy and I, got it better than anyone because, you know, Kathy married Alvin Brandon.
Yes, yes.
The Cripple Creek community up at Kittrell. She and I did get the best of it because the money was a little better. Dad and Mom had kind of achieved, and home was better. The lifestyle was better, but still kind of a rough country upbringing.
No, not growing up in Cannon County. I had some growing up times over off of Woodbury Highway, all the way from Reedleville into Jakestown, and you know, it really was special. And we grew up in a time that things were a little bit more simple, uncomplicated. And the thing that I remember most is that we believed just about everything we heard.
Exactly,
I mean,
right.
you had confidence in all your leaders and the people that you grew up around, and you didn't have that jaded look.
When I was growing up, I lived in Reedville, and right there at the road where the old, which is now the post office, I think it's called actually Barker Road, used to just be Route 2, as we all lived on a rural route. But I was thinking, in coming down here today, it brought back memories of the big jobs back that time were the over-the-road tractor-trailer drivers.
Oh,
do you remember Clyde Elrod?
Yes,
still
very
on
well.
The county commission
yes,
for years.
Yes.
His daughter, Sarah, and I were in school together, and his younger daughter, Jane, who works at Nissan, been here for years. Mm-hmm. He was such a fine fellow, but on the county commission long-term. And then Paul Tenpenny. I don't know if you remember Paul Tenpenny. He was our next-door neighbor growing up and was an over-the-road. I didn't know what they did as a young boy, but I thought that was really neat how they traveled all the time all over America. It was that kind of a time in our world.
Yeah, those jobs were the best jobs, and you were exactly right because you had the semi drivers, which I knew probably most of them that were around here, and then Rutherford County was known as a place where a lot of Greyhound bus drivers lived.
Exactly.
And there's a ton of them back then.
Remember Mr. Moorhead?
Oh, yeah, Paul Moorhead. And grew up with that family, wife
right.
Margaret, and they had 3 boys and a girl, and just a sweet family. But We knew everybody, and we knew all their families just about on the Woodbury Highway. And I don't know how in the world we were able to get so close, but we really were.
Good friends of yours are the Woods family up in Cleveland. Tom King Woods.
Oh, love Rachel
Woods.
Death.
They had a big family and lived right around the road from us, I guess, as you would say. You lived in the Jakestown community or grew up in that area. Everyone knew everyone. Every house was open to everyone. Kids in and out all the time. The great thing about Readable was we had a full-time swimming pool over at Stones River at the dam, and that was an annual, in the summer, that's where you went every day for recreation.
Yeah. Now, I had Judge Daniels on the other day, who was a circuit, like yourself, circuit judge, and then he was, it's kind of like a promotion into senior judge, which is quite an honor. And we're talking about him, and one question I always like to ask the circuit judges, and I don't think I asked you last time because you would probably fit into this more than any other judge. When you enter in circuit, you have two counties. You have Rutherford County and Cannon County. And I asked him the question, is it different being a judge in Cannon County as opposed to being a judge in Rutherford County? I'm not going to tell you what he says.
I bet I know the answer. I was raised and born in Cannon County and had the good fortune of living on the county line. So I can claim ownership of Cannon and Rutherford because literally our house, the line of the boundary just went right back through our yard. So you could step on either side. But it is a different world. And when you cross over into Readable, going to court in Woodbury, you know your home, and you're exactly right. I'm sure Judge Daniels echoes what I say in that the people are treated differently and they expect to be treated differently. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. That's a recognition of the two communities and how we are different. In Cannon County, everyone knows everyone. And in Rutherford County, we have truly become a metropolitan area. It's like you and I were chatting this morning about people that we know before we started the program today. We've gained a lot from being a metropolitan area, but we've lost a lot in the day-to-day contact with each other.
Now, when you have court in Cannon County, it's almost like, in some respects, presiding over your own family there because you know all of them, their kin folks, all the way down the line, and probably most of them know you as Mark rather than judge.
I can really tell you when I'm approached and someone says Jerry Mark, that I know I'm home.
Yeah.
Because I, as lawyers do, and we all like to have somewhat of an ego, I'm sure everyone understands that. When I got licensed, I put J. Mark Rogers out on my name. Mm-hmm. And most people don't know what the J stands for. A lot of people might have a name for what the J should stand for, but when I go home to Cannon County and someone walks up and says, Jerry Mark, I realize I'm in my house because that's what I grew up as a young boy.
You presided over a number of important cases. They're all important, of course, but some have more notoriety than others. And I have watched you over the years, and I know that a lot of times you have to be filled with a number of emotions that are going on in the courtroom, and not all things are pleasant, especially when you're having to be a judge and sit there and listen to all of it, trying to discern, you know, basically what's going on. But I have never seen you perplexed. I have never seen you display any of the things that had to be going on inside. How do you get a release from all that? Do you go home and kick the cat and at some point you're always smiling, you always have that look of, you know, nothing is actually bothering me, but I know it's got to be.
True, but I'm just laughing because the one thing that helps when I get home, my wife certainly doesn't call me judge.
Oh, I'll bet that.
That helps a whole lot. That makes you humble real quick.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's, I recognize, I had the good fortune of being a trial lawyer and practicing law for 29 years. And I dealt with a lot of different cases, and I learned early on, none of us know everything. Most of us know little of nothing, and you just have to do the best you can. And being a judge, quite frankly, is really not only is it an honor, but it really is a job that the lawyers, if they do their work, and we are blessed with a good bar in mm-hmm. Rutherford County and Cannon County. By having a good bar and lawyers doing their job, it makes the job a whole lot easier. And fortunately, we have law that we can base our decisions on. And that's the home base, I guess, to tell you. When things are really hard, and it's not a question of what do you want to do, it's a question of what do you do under the law. And that makes it a lot less stressful. The sad time is when you make a decision that there are no good answers to, mm-hmm. or you make decisions that you know affect people's lives and not only their financial impact, but also the emotional impact of what they're involved in. But you try to do the best you can under the circumstances and follow the law and hope that everything comes out okay. And then the good thing is our system of justice has reviewing courts. We have mm-hmm. the right of appeal, and I always, Judge Clayton taught me that as a young lawyer. Every time James Clayton tried to, as a judge, a longtime jurist here, when you were in front of Jim Clayton, he would readily say, "Now, I've done the best I could. I may have made a mistake. Mm-hmm. I'd really encourage you to look at an appeal, and if I learned that I did something wrong or made an error, I hope to be corrected." And I always thought that was a good approach, a very healthy approach to the law, instead of my way or the highway, so to speak.
Well, as you mentioned, Judge James K. Clayton, I think back, and he was a common sense judge.
A kind man.
Very kind. And he was one of those people, I guess, you know, he had such a big heart that a lot, it really did bother him when he had cases that he felt like were not going to be going the way that they should. And I can see you being that way. You have a lot of the same attributes. And when you see a case going on, and maybe attorneys are just like doctors, you have certain levels of attorneys, you have certain levels of doctors, and some you have more competence in than you would others. If you see something going on and you feel like that an attorney is not as prepared for his case, because I know preparation is something that you really work hard on, how do you feel? Because I know you would like to get involved and say, "Hey, big boy, you're going in the wrong direction," but you can't do that.
That's the very you're dead on with what is a real problem for most judges. Mm-hmm. When most judges that obtain the bench have had some experience in the law, and preparation is by far if you were talking to kindergartners up to those individuals that are getting doctorate degrees, the key to success in anything is preparation. And it is frustrating. You're exactly right. If you're involved in litigation and one party or the other is not prepared and decisions have to be made. And it is a real, the old story about the lawyer where the judge kept getting involved and finally the other lawyer said, "Your Honor, I've got to object. I don't mind you helping the other side. I just don't want you to let them win the case." And it is a problem because that is our system of justice, that individuals are represented by attorneys, and you have to rely on them to do his or her job. Fortunately, you still are required as a judge to follow the law, mm-hmm. and so that's the home base, I guess, the secure plate that you can stand on. But it is very difficult.
I wish everybody in the community would take time off sometime and go to the courtrooms and watch somebody like you presiding over a trial, because I have been so impressed over the years watching you and some of the other judges how you're able to handle yourself. And it takes an enormous amount of work and preparation. People will sit there and watch you and they think it's just, you know, this is a simple thing, he's got everything, it couldn't be that difficult. But it is. I mean, it's extremely difficult because you have different types of attorneys, and a lot of them will go in fully prepared for their case, and they have all the history and all the historical data on cases before them and what the law specifically says, and go from one paragraph to another. Attorneys catch a lot of heat because of some of the cases, the lawsuits and things like
right.
that. Not all most attorneys here, and I think you'll agree with me, are honest. They're making a good living, but they're earning it because it's a lot of work. But then you see those, the thing that gripes me more than anything are the advertisements.
Right.
Because the solicitation of lawsuits is something that I never have felt comfortable with.
We're really blessed to have a fine bar in both Rutherford and Cannon County. And I echo you with this, Truman. If anyone could just see the hours that lawyers give of their services free, I know of no other profession where individuals are appointed to represent someone without being paid,
right,
or will take on a case for an appointment in court because the person is unrepresented. Every Thursday, I think it's at Greenhouse Ministries where they do it now, lawyers will go and from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock give free legal advice. I mean, you're talking individuals who bill at rates of $200, $300 an hour and taking their time out of their lives and their families to go and an open door policy. If you have an issue, come in and tell the lawyer what the problem is and the lawyer can give you some guidance. We have pro se litigants is a term we use, mm-hmm, for individuals who choose to represent themselves. The court system, lawyers, the clerks are all there to help and assist. And so it really is a remarkable thing how much people can do on their own. Although I'm of the old school, I tell everyone a courtroom is an operating room. It's no different than going to have your appendix removed in a hospital. Mm-hmm. You might go into the operating room and operate on yourself, but no one would. Mm-hmm. And I tell people when you're in a courtroom, it's the same kind of situation. It's a hospital operating room, and you really do need a professional to help you. Unfortunately, some things people just can't afford, and they have to do the best they can.
Well, now you are the presiding judge,
right,
in the circuit.
We have a rotation every 2 years, one of the judges, and we have five trial court judges at, mm-hmm, the circuit and chancery court level in Rutherford and Cannon County. And every 2 years, we have someone serve. Early in my term on the bench, I served for a two-year term, and this would have been Judge Ash's term, mm-hmm, and you know he took senior status and
very well deserved.
Yes, and I think you've had him on your program,
yes,
and he's,
yes,
doing a great job in that. I had lunch with him yesterday, and he has 28 cases already that have been appointed to him through the Supreme Court offices, and traveling and working all over the state with those. So he'll be busy.
Yeah, well,
it sounds like
really
a
busy.
Yeah,
he will
be busy.
Usually, a judge has someone that helps him prepare for,
right,
cases. He will not have that as a senior judge.
We have every judge in Rutherford and Cannon County on the trial court level has a law clerk, mm-hmm, that is paid for by the county, and I can't say how much we appreciate and how wonderful that is to make the system work as well as it does.
Yeah, how would you be able to manage with all the caseload that you have? And I know it's so important for you to be up on every case for the preparation, like we said earlier. That has got to be like a right arm to you.
It is. And what is really great is when you're in the middle of a trial and some issue comes up, as you were talking a moment ago about the attorneys, and every lawyer can put a different spin on what, mm-hmm, the case stands for. It's really great when you're in the middle of a trial and a heated argument that you can have your law clerk step aside, go back in the back, pull out the case, read it, you take a break and go back and look over it and analyze it and have someone to bounce it off of. And it can make a real difference in the administration of justice. It really is helpful. And Judge Ash is going to miss that. I think you hit the nail on the head. But he is very smart, very, yeah, bright, and he will succeed without any doubt at all.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and it started rolling in my head. Man, you're going into a very tough assignment. And I know, but the thing about it, he has a lot of energy, and he's looking so forward to it.
And I think he was ready for the change.
Yeah.
I think he was ready for that. He's been on the trial court bench for a number of years, and this gives him an opportunity to travel and see the state and be more involved. And quite frankly, I think the cases will be somewhat more complex. Those cases that he gets are the difficult ones that arise from town to town, community to community. Mm-hmm. Judges have to recuse for a number of reasons, either familiarity with the parties involved or for whatever reason. It'll be interesting. He'll be quite busy, that's for sure.
Oh, bless his heart. Now, as a presiding judge, you have certain responsibilities. How do you work through that?
The great thing is the presiding judge is charged with setting the dockets for the respective courts or judges. And fortunately for us here in Rutherford County and Cannon County, all of the trial court judges have been able to work together, and we actually meet, go over the dockets, criminal dockets, civil dockets, domestic relations, protective order dockets, all the things that we have to deal with, and then we allocate those. And we've been able to do that on an agreeable terms rather than someone having to say, this is what you will do. It's more, this is what I want to do, or this is what I'd like to do. And then the other job of presiding judge, that there's a number of things, but another one is when a judge has a conflict or all judges have a conflict, then you have to take on the responsibility of securing another judge. Now, that that takes a lot of time and effort, because we try to get a judge from an adjoining county, Davidson County, Coffee County, Bedford County, and usually you can do that with some effort. And then if you can't, then we turn over and ask the AOC, the Administrative Office of the Courts, to designate a senior judge, like Judge Ash, to come in and hear the case. And that's so that the parties who have a case that can't be heard by a local judge will have it heard as quickly as possible, and it will not linger, and they're able to get their matters resolved.
Is it important a lot of time to get a judge, and I know we've done this over the past, that's completely outside the Middle Tennessee area? A lot of times you'll bring in judges, say, from East Tennessee to hear maybe a capital case or something like that. Is that usually because of the overwhelming publicity in certain cases that have a lot of emotions tied to it?
Yes. What we what you see more in the criminal field than in the civil field. There are a number of cases that are tried in our judicial system that takes days and weeks. On the civil side, they just create no publicity. It's a different kind of a human interest, I guess it would be. Whereas in the criminal law, a capital murder case, such as you spoke, capital offense where the death penalty is involved, that garners a lot of attention. And sometimes it is best to bring a judge in from either East Tennessee or West Tennessee who's not around in the news media where the publicity is and familiarity with that. And that happens. And that's why the Administrative Office of the Courts is so important. Our judiciary has set that up as a system, and it's operated out of Nashville, but it coordinates the roles of all the various judges across the state on all the levels, both General Sessions Court, Juvenile Court, Circuit and Chancery Court, and Appellate Courts as well. But it is a mechanism to allow that to take place. And you know, Judge Daniel, if you'll recall, when he became senior judge, he tried, I think it was the case involving the gentleman, Mr. Looper, low tax Looper. Do you remember that case?
Yeah, we talked about that the other day.
The senator involving the late state senator from the Cookeville area.
Was murdered, yeah.
Right. And that's a good example that they would appoint someone like Judge Daniel here in Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, who would go and try that case over in Putnam County that had a lot of high interest across the state. And he was a judge that had no no real relationship with that community. Did an excellent job, by the way.
He really did, and it was one of those cases that had attention almost nationwide. And when he would relate to me about low tax Looper, I mean, didn't he? I think he actually had his name changed to low tax, which is weird.
Let me tell you a quick story about that. I've always wanted to visit Brushy Mountain Prison. I didn't want to stay there, but I always wanted to visit. And I happened
to see a good place to hide.
I happened to see an article about Brushy Mountain closing about a year ago, and so I called the warden and I said, "Warden, I really want to see your prison before you all move." And he said, "Well, you come on up whenever you want." So I took two of my sisters and one of my sister's friends, believe it or not, we drove up to Brushy Mountain. And Truman, you'll appreciate this story. The warden had someone give us a tour. Of course, it's an all-male prison. And now here I am with three fine-looking women, two of my sisters and one of my sister's friends. And we're marching around all over the prison yard. And they have a particular building they wanted to show us that had an underground floor or something, and we literally walked through prisoners. And I asked the fellow who was, you know, he was a huge man, very fine man, but no gun, no weapon on him, And I asked him, I said, what kind of protection do we have walking across here? And he said, you see those guards in those towers up there? He said, if anyone so much as touches any one of us, you'll be protected. It took a little leap of faith on my part. You probably wouldn't have bothered you
at
all.
Hope they're a good shot.
But we sure had a good time. And he and Mr. Looper was there in one of the secluded buildings. Mm-hmm. I think he has his own room, so to speak. Quite an experience. They moved the prison, you know, up in that community. Is it Morgan County? They opened up the correctional facility,
right. Yeah.
And they moved, I think 2 weeks later, they all moved out of the Brushy Mountain Prison.
Well, I could tell that low tax had an impact on Judge Daniels, because he would respond how bright he was.
That's exactly what the warden told me, smartest man he'd ever met. The warden said that Mr. Looper had an intelligence beyond understanding.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Circuit Court Judge Mark Rogers.
You work hard for your money. Shouldn't your financial advisor work just as hard managing it? Or does managing even describe what your advisor does? When you seek advice, you're sold mutual funds with a load. You're getting product. That's not management, that's sales. At the Mutual Fund Store, we're fee-based, so our revenue is generated by keeping our clients. That's why we monitor our clients' accounts on a regular and ongoing basis to evaluate if any changes need to be made. And since there are never any commissions or loads, our clients know that the changes are based only on their needs. With Mutual Fund Store locations from coast to coast, thousands of hardworking Americans already know what management really means. The client comes first at the Mutual Fund Store, with custom investment plans to fit your goals, not ours. To learn more, visit MutualFundStore.com or call the Mutual Fund Store now in Franklin, and now taking appointments in our Murfreesboro location. 615-778-3232. That's 778-3232 for either location.
Looking for the freshest ingredients for your holiday cooking? Search no further than the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Since 1975, the market has been serving Murfreesboro and helping connect local farmers with you, their customers. Our vendors are Tennessee farmers who grow and produce the food you buy at the market. The Rutherford County Farmers Market, where you can get to know your farmer and your neighbor. Come see us during our extended season held each Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. now through December 16th. We're located at the Lane Agro Park Community Center at 315 John R. Rice Boulevard. See you there.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
Powerball Fever. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. Well, tonight's Powerball jackpot is up to a record half $1 billion. That's $500 million. Folks in 42 states plus Washington, D.C., hoping to beat the odds and get that one winning ticket.
That kind of money, though, you got to, you know, throw your hat in the ring.
If there is a single winner, that person would have the option of receiving a lump sum check of $327 million. The odds of winning, by the way, in case you're keeping track, are roughly 1 in 175 million. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center, on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro, a leader in chronic pain relief in Rutherford County for over two decades. Call Dr. Mark Kester at 895-1253 to help set up your free consultation. A watchdog group, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, or CREW, has filed a congressional ethics complaint against Republican U.S. Representative Scott Desjarlais. He accused the Jasper physician of lying when confronted about an affair with a patient. Desjarlais won a second term this month, despite revelations that he once urged a mistress to seek an abortion. During the campaign, he disputed allegations he dated patients and wrote prescriptions for them. A court transcript released the week after the election showed he admitted the incidents while testifying at his 2001 divorce trial. The transcript also showed that Desjarlais acknowledged recording the abortion conversation with his mistress, although he denied that during the campaign. Laverne police looking for your help in locating 16-year-old girl who was last seen on Saturday night in the area of Florence Road and Enon Springs Road in Smyrna. Genalisa Guzman Taradoglia's date of birth is October 24, 1996. She's of Puerto Rican descent and has brown hair, brown eyes, is 4'11", and weighs 122 pounds. You left your home on foot and may be with Christopher Justin Bly, a runaway from Smyrna. His date of birth, October 14th, 1997. Any information? Please call the police. This is WGNS News.
For many owners, traffic means spending more time with the Mini you love. Get 0.9% APR for up to 60 months on most 2013 Mini models and make no payment until next year. Visit miniofnashville.com. Brought to you by Mini.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
ProLift Systems is involved with all aspects of foundation repair. ProLift Systems 481-4735 has 2 decades of experience in residential and commercial construction and foundation repair in Murfreesboro and surrounding areas. ProLift Systems 481-4735. If you notice drywall cracks, doors and windows that are hard to open, cracks in mortar, or water in the crawl space, call ProLift Systems at 481-4735 for a free inspection and estimate.
Remember the saying, you can bank on it? They were trying to gain your trust. Customer trust is more important today than ever before. And businesses who are in tune with the needs of their customers understand the right balance between high-tech and high-touch services. Meeting customer expectations and doing it with respect is the ultimate test of better business. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
WeatherEye. See the skies turning mostly sunny in our forecast with afternoon high temperatures near 50 degrees. And it's been clear and quiet conditions tonight with a low down to 30. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam the Nice Team. Right now it's 37.
Our good neighbor of the day, Wendy Steyer, a volunteer at the Knight Lions Club in Murfreesboro. She helps individuals with eye screening in Rutherford County and is our good neighbor of the day, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And Jacob Gardner, happy 5th birthday. Receives the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
Play it again, sports!
Your fitness headquarters.
We've got our hands on name brands like Schwinn, Horizon, Bowflex, and more. Create your own discount. Bring in your old sporting goods and walk out with new equipment.
Play it again, sports!
On Thompson Lane.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Circuit Court Judge Mark Rogers, the presiding judge in Rutherford County and in Cannon County. And I want to let you know this part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. When you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that home care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. That's At Home Care, 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's telephone number 713-4639. At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. You know, Mark, in the business I was in, I still think back a lot of the people that I've been in contact with on both sides of the issues. And there's a lot of really fond memories, believe it or not, in my job, which sometimes you would deal with the worst of the worst and situations that most people would not want to be involved in. But to watch people go through all kinds of extenuating circumstances is really a lesson in human behavior. And, you know, if people could look at things from the way that we had to deal with, I think there would be probably a lot of changes in the way the laws are set up and the way we deal with people.
I agree with you. There, people that are entering the judicial system are oftentimes at the end of their rope, mm-hmm. down on their luck, and things have just cascaded in their lives, either caused by them or other things that have occurred. There's always got to be individual responsibility for what we do, but you have to be constantly aware that what we live with in our daily lives, a lot of other folks don't enjoy, mm-hmm. and have to be aware of that and account for it. You know, Truman, I've I do have to ask you something. You get to ask me questions, and you and I were talking before we came on air this morning about our mutual friend John Vaughn, and you yes. told me the story about him jumping out of a plane.
Yeah.
And then it became, I asked you how you knew about all that, and I found out today you're a paratrooper.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Yes, I was like all paratroopers. I was scared to death going out that door. But it's the most exhilarating feeling when you know that chute is open and you're gliding down. It's like being in another world, watching everything from the top of the world.
How
it
many
really
jumps
is.
Have you made? Because most people know how many jumps.
No, I really never paid
more
any
than
attention.
One or two.
Yeah, yeah. It was oh yes, but it was one of those things that if you had a little dull time in your life and you were thinking about going up in that plane and falling in the hollows of air and enjoying something, you become alive. You really right. do. And John is not much younger than I am.
No.
We're pretty close to the same age. And he told me one day, he says, I am going to jump out. That's one of my on my bucket list. I'm
going to
jump.
Ask him about this because I did not know he did that.
Well, he can send you an email and have it. You can pull it up if you talk to him. And he's got a great picture of him coming down and everything. And he says he thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just an experience that, you know, if you have that desire to do it, you would love it. I mean, you really would.
Well, I just don't know if I could come out that door.
Well, it's one of those things. When I went through at Fort Benning, everybody had that macho attitude.
Right.
I mean, there were people from the Army. There were people from the Navy, the SEALs. You had the Marine Recons. And all of us in there together, it was really an interesting experience to see the attitudes of each particular group. But when you're in the plane for that first jump and everybody's seated and then they open up the doors and that the air comes blowing through and you see just nothing, just hollows of nothing. And it puts the fear in you.
Did you do a night jump the first jump?
No. It was a day jump. Yeah, I didn't do a night jump. And I was trying to remember. I don't think I did a night jump until I was back at 18th Airborne Corps. Mm-hmm. But it was something that'll get your attention. And for John to do that at his age is remarkable.
Well, no, we shouldn't say about his age.
No.
But it really is remarkable.
He's still a young man.
Well, he works out every day, that's for sure.
He does.
Consistent. Well, you know, Royce Taylor is a Navy SEAL.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that, although he may not admit it, I think he'd rather be under the water than jumping out of a plane. I think that's what drew him to that some degree.
Can you imagine in this county, having the Taylors, you have Royce, and then you have his brother. Jimmy, who was a rear admiral,
right,
and one of the best pilots ever in the history of aviation in the Navy. Unbelievable.
And Royce is a graduate of Annapolis, the Naval Academy. Yeah. I mean, you talk about his brother being an admiral, but then you have Royce Taylor himself, who went to Central High School, and you know his lovely wife Susan. Her father was an FBI agent.
Yes.
That which is just remarkable in itself. But Royce's deep roots in Rutherford County with the Taylor
family. You know, his group that he was in was one of the main groups that's been used for going in and taking care of unusual situations.
Right.
Extremely well-trained and everything. And you can see that in Royce's demeanor here.
Right.
I mean, he's a very confident he's one of those people that you could almost see the flag flying on top of him.
Mm-hmm. A fine American, but just a good human being. Royce Taylor is just a good human being.
You know, I was going to ask you about unusual people that have really drawn your attention over the years, but you actually live with one like that. And do you guys ever go out, and what is it when you play basketball and you try to, a horse is what it's called. Do you ever go out and play a horse with your sweet, lovely wife?
No, because she could beat me. When you talk about a true legend.
Now, she is
Jean
a legend.
Ann is a legend.
Yes.
And 65 points in one game. John Hood and I always have the fun time with the story. One day, John Hood asked Jean Ann how many points she scored because he'd heard that she was a great athlete, and And so before she could answer, I said she scored 62 points. And John just went on and on about 62 points, and Jean Ann couldn't take it anymore, and she had to correct him and say, no, it was 65. So
she does get agitated, doesn't she?
Yes, and so Dan Whittle enjoys that story because I think he does that to her some. It's a state record in Mississippi girls basketball, and because of the change in girls basketball, we were talking, you and I and the mayor this morning, Mayor Burgess, about the quality of basketball at Middle Tennessee State University and the girls program with Rick Insell, a fella, Canning County native. Rick and I were in school at the same time, although I was at Kittrell and he was at Canning County, Woodbury Central. But how great those programs are. The girls' basketball in the day was 3-on-3. You recall that?
Oh, I remember it.
And now they play just like the males' game, the men's games. But Jean Ann's record will stand forever. A great athlete.
It's amazing how we spoiled the ladies all these years. Actually, we kind of misinterpreted what they all could do, because now the ladies are as good athletes as the men. Right. I have loved to go watch the ladies play, because in some respects, they play basketball like we all remember the guys playing when we were growing up.
You know, Kittrell had a great run of basketball
stories really did.
With Monk Montgomery, but Ben Cates came to Kittrell after he graduated and returned college and coached girls basketball. And you remember Connie Vance? And
Connie,
I saw her last week at the fire department at Kittrell.
She always makes the ham breakfast,
but was just a great athlete and a great star, and there were just many more. But Ben Cates took that program to a level of success that was well-known. He had a great coaching career there.
Of course, that's where Rick kind of got started, because he went from there and then went to Shebaville and had some really great state championship teams over there.
We were very fortunate to have him as our coach at Middle Tennessee State University, Rick Insell.
Well, yeah, now that he's switched over, we talked about that for quite a while. And actually, it took him a while to make the decision to be coach at MTSU, because he was so successful
at
Shebaville.
National championship level success.
And to give that up. I know, you know, there's more compensation for it when you get to the college level, but even that, he loved coaching girls basketball at Shebaville, but now that he's over here, he's taking it to another level, and I love to watch him coach on the floor.
Wonderful. Everyone that has not been to a Middle Tennessee State game in recent years needs to give a second thought, because it's well worth the entertainment. It's wonderful sports, good facility, and a great evening when you're there. I see you at those games some.
Oh, yeah, I love to go. Now, let's go back to being a judge. There's a big difference between being a criminal judge than being a civil judge. If you had your druthers, which one would you do if it was just that's what you always did?
We've talked with the other judges, excuse me, and I really think it'd be nice if we could go back to where the judges did a little bit of everything, rotated in and did criminal, rotated in and did civil. My background as a trial lawyer was primarily limited to the civil litigation side, and so that's what I'm comfortable with. When I went through the selection process of the becoming a judge, I remember one of the district attorneys that was on the selection board from over in one of the southern counties mentioned to me the fact. He said, "I hope you do criminal someday. I think you'd enjoy it." And what he meant was set as a criminal judge. I've done a little of the criminal. It's completely different in the way the procedures are handled, and it's all law, but it's a different mechanism of how it's handled. So I guess if you ask me my comfort zone, it's in the civil, but I think the criminal certainly has got an element of excitement to it. You're dealing with individuals who are it really has impacts, both families, victims, and across the board. So I think they both have a something that would interest anyone, but it's difficult to say exactly which one has greater precedence, because everyone involved in a lawsuit, it's so personal. It's you're the one that's the center, the one involved in that litigation.
Sometimes you wouldn't think so, but sometimes it seems like there's more emotion involved in civil cases, because you have two parties that are at odds with each other for whatever reason, and a lot of times I've been there after the verdict has been rendered, and neither side is happy.
Right.
And it seems like there's more closure with the criminal side after somebody has been, not always, but after someone has been convicted of committing a crime. And then nobody ever I guess it's just human nature. Nobody seems ever happy after a civil case.
You're dead on, Truman. What I find to be the most disturbing thing of when you say civil in a, let's say, an automobile collision or a medical malpractice or a legal malpractice or a breach of contract, what really gets you is the emotional and the domestic relations civil. I tell all law clerks that work with me, the danger in a volatile domestic relations case is greater than in any criminal case. And that's been my experience. In the criminal courtrooms, the defendants are the accused, the victims, they're all respectful. They all are part of the process of going through the issues that have been presented. But if you're in a domestic relations case, the emotion takes over so great. The danger is there. I've actually had trials where the parties in a domestic relations case, I had concern for the safety of everyone in the courtroom.
Including the judge and the attorneys. Yes. And a lot of the anger would go as much for the attorneys that are representing them more than anywhere.
Right.
I don't think... You know, as good as, and we've got probably the best attorneys anywhere in the state of Tennessee.
I think we do.
But I will see some anger go against an attorney for no reason whatsoever, because it's hard to keep the proper objective when you're there, and you're the ones that's fighting for whatever reason.
I have actually taken at times in the courtroom, because you've been in the courtroom setting where the witness sits next to the judge. In some domestic relations cases, I've used an alternative means by having the witness testify from somewhere rather than next to the judge, because of the safety concerns. It's so volatile at times how people can and do things they would never ever do again during the heat of a prolonged divorce or a custody battle or things of that nature. Sometime we'll come back and talk. Somewhere down the road, we may see some changes in how domestic relations cases are tried. You know, our litigation system is an adversary system. You employ the lawyer, the best lawyer you can, and you go to trial, and it's a combat zone. I don't know if our placing the dissolution of a marriage and the assignment of time or responsibility for a child should actually come out of a adversarial litigation system. I don't know if that's the best thing. That's what we have now. But I do think it'll be reviewed in the coming years, and the new generations coming on will require more than what we've had in the past of the custodial battles or the war in litigation of divorce. That's a real difficult subject.
Is it hard to look at the both parties, and you can see that one party is trying to manipulate the whole thing and probably telling things that are exactly true, but you seem like sometimes your hands are tied, and if you could put them in another venue and separate them and maybe... after a long process, try to get some type of reason in there. But it's pretty hard to do. I mean, hatred can become so overwhelming sometimes.
And winning at all costs, sometimes you don't win. You win, but it's not a win.
I don't think any party loses, but can you imagine, especially if it's divorce and there are kids involved,
right?
It is the most devastating thing to look at, because the kids, I mean... their whole world has changed.
That's exactly right. And they didn't ask for that change to occur. Things happen, but we've come a long ways. Now we have mediation. We have parenting plans that Judge Ash was instrumental in helping establish in the state of Tennessee. We are light years away from where we were when I started practicing law back in 1977. And it's continuing to improve. But I still think there's a lot of room for improvement, and hopefully we'll accomplish that in the years to come.
Yeah, I've seen so much of it over the years, and it's not only the relationships just fall completely apart. And then when they start using the kids as part of their battle zone.
We're blessed in Rutherford County. We have lots of counselors that are available, mental health professionals. We have mediation that we use now to help people going through divorce. And I've often thought that back when I was a young lawyer and I handled domestic cases, if I'd have had the ability to require everyone who employed me for a divorce proceeding to require that they have to go through some counseling process with a trained professional, how much it would help the system. But, you know, money's the root of all evil, and there's not enough of it, I guess, is the bottom line.
Unfortunately, that's one subject we could talk for hours
on. We could.
And still be perplexed.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Circuit Court Judge Mark Rogers.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Talking with Dr. Rishi Saxena, board-certified cardiologist, the first to acquire the 64-slice CT scan, and still the only one in the area that can decipher the information.
I'm the most trained guy. I'm board-certified in heart CT. Nobody else is in this area.
Before heart catheterization or stress test, call 896-4800. This CT scan only takes minutes, no needles, and it could show early signs other tests miss.
We are the only one who are trained to find plaque buildup earlier.
Don't make the 1-800 mistake when it comes to your peace of mind and your auto insurance. As your local auto owner's agent, we'll take time to sit down with you face-to-face and discuss your insurance needs. I'm Doran Claiborne with Claiborne & Taylor Insurance. Come by our office at 319 West McKnight Drive or give us a call at 893-5064. So don't make the 1-800 mistake when it comes to your insurance. Give us a call. We're your local auto owner's agent.
You can depend on Claiborne & Taylor.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
Slick Pig Barbecue. Down on East Main, there's pork, beef, chicken, and wings. Sauce too good to be true.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the catfish special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all you can eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw.
Slick Pig Barbecue, 1920 East Main.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Judge Mark Rogers. And this part of his show is brought to you by Murfreesboro Automotive. When you need car repairs, you want someone you can trust. Murfreesboro Automotive is that place. Chuck Haynes has a staff of certified technicians that can fix anything. From the simple oil change to major auto repair, Murfreesboro Automotive is the only place you need. Murfreesboro Automotive, turn off Broad between Chewy's and Chili's on to Ridgely Road. Have you noticed any difference in some of your responsibilities? And is that a position that you feel comfortable with? Because I know you work well with everybody. I've never seen you in a situation when you lost control of what you wanted to do, and it's because you love people, and I think that may be your biggest asset, is that you really do care about people, but it also could be in the long run a harmful thing, because you kind of suffer through all that because the way things are set up sometimes.
You do have to understand your own personality and how you approach things, but I think. The great thing about our trial court system here in Rutherford County, including all the court levels, is I think every judge and all the lawyers here in Rutherford County and Cannon County have great respect for each other. Mm-hmm. And I think if you always put in the back of your mind, everyone's trying to do the right thing and the best thing they can, it usually works out well. And I've been able, with working with all our judges, to avoid any really difficult issues that we haven't been able to overcome through working out together, everyone putting in their input and coming out what's best. And if you also take the approach that you're serving the public, mm-hmm. That really comes a long ways. I'll give you an example, Truman. The judicial building that we occupy, and you've been in, and with our security system down below at the first floor level and going on up, mm-hmm. We have courtrooms on the second floor, which is the courtroom where I'm assigned across mm-hmm. from the circuit clerk. It's the largest courtroom, but it was the first courtroom. Right. It's where Judge Daniel operated out mm-hmm. of. And then you go on up to the third floor was the Chancery Courtroom. And then over the years, we've added courtrooms now on the two on the fourth floor and one on the fifth floor. And you'll remember the old fifth floor was where the Register of Deeds was. Homer Jones's office mm-hmm. for years was up on the fifth floor. That's where Judge Royce Taylor's courtroom is. Some of the courtrooms are smaller than others, and we were doing it every Tuesday of every week. We have a protective order docket. That's the situation where people have been either threatened with or subject to domestic violence, and they can seek and request a protective order. That's where emotions are quite high between mm-hmm. The various parties involved. And we were literally having those individuals go every Tuesday to a different floor of the judicial building for their cases. Mm-hmm. Because one week it would be Judge Taylor, one week Judge Bragg, mm-hmm. one week Judge Rogers. And it would rotate around to all the different judges that we have. Well, it became obvious this is not good. So I suggested, and every judge agreed, that we would just always do it on the second floor, which is the courtroom that I'm assigned, because mm-hmm. it's the largest courtroom.
Right.
And every week, one of the judges will move down to that courtroom, and I will go to his or her courtroom to a different place in the building, because it works. Now, that's an example of how I think the judicial system ought to work. I think judges, because who we're taking care of is the public. And it helps security, because they know on each weekday that we have a protective order docket. Those individuals are on the second floor at that courtroom. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it for a secure, consistent, and people know each week. If you have to come back the next week or 2 weeks from now, that's where you're going to. I think that's an example of how government should work.
Yeah, you're making the best of probably a bad situation, because where the judicial building is now, It's almost like that everything just clogs up right there.
Right.
I mean, with the people driving in, they on arraignment day, everything takes over the square. I mean, everything is going on in the judicial building. And then you have so many people that are flowing in from all types of crimes, misdemeanors, all the way up to capital crimes. And people that are involved there are quite emotional, and they're sitting right on top of each other. How close are we away from needing to get away from there and build something in a more secure area and something that's more available to the people that are doing business?
Well, let me address that in two ways. First, I think the citizens of Rutherford County ought to know how much Judge Ben Hall McFarland and Judge David Lowry, who are assigned courtrooms on the first floor, where you do go into the judicial building, mm-hmm. how much they've done to alleviate the situation of overcrowding, and they've changed their docket times. They hold court early in the morning. They've shared workloads between their two respective offices, and together with Mayor Burgess, I have to give him a shout out. Mm-hmm. He got involved and addressed an issue where over in what used to be the old Merseburg Bank and Trust building, where mm-hmm. the criminal court clerks are, they opened up a section there for the district attorneys to use, sort of an overflow, if you would. Mm-hmm. And that has really made a difference. And I could not say enough good things about Judge Ben McFarland and Judge David Lowry, how great they work together and how they have taken on addressing an issue on the first floor that was a security issue, and working with Mayor Burgess have eliminated that to some extent, to a great extent, mm-hmm. I should say. Now, to address the second question about a judicial building, for a community our size, we should be in a new judicial building that is what I call a citizen's building,
right?
Because that's what justice is about. It's the third branch of government, and we're individuals who have disputes either from a civil side or from a criminal case, have a right to go and be heard, and we could use that facility now. It all comes down to money, and I know Mayor Burgess has worked on this issue, and it is not going to be an immediate answer anytime soon, but it's still being developed as to the progress of where it will go and when it will go and how it will go. But it all comes down to the financial situation. And as you and I discussed even before we started the show today, our world is in a real tough spot right now, economically.
Well, let's hope that when it comes time to do it, of course, the time's already now, but when they are able to do it, I hope that they utilize the experience from the judges that have been there for so long so that we can operate in a more effective way, because you guys have really had to make some big changes and amend a lot of things over the years. Is there anybody you want to say hi or bye to?
Well,
because,
you know,
we're out of time.
I do. I got to go, but I got to tell you this. I do want to say the late Tommy Smith passed away
a couple of weeks ago.
And Tommy was Nancy Sellers' brother.
Yes.
And just a fine lawyer. When I came to Murfreesboro in 1977, he was one of the first to stick out his hand and say, welcome. He never closed his door if I had any question to ask. You know, Judge Ewing Sellers is uncle. Mm-hmm. Just a fine, fine human being. And Rutherford County lost a great person when he passed away. And I wish you a Merry Christmas. I'm so happy to be here.
I wish you a Merry Christmas also, and I'm glad you mentioned Tommy, because that's one void that'll never be filled.
Exactly
here.
Right.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow, and we're going to have Mr. Dan Whittle on in the morning, and we're going to have one of the greatest spellers in the history of Rutherford County.